Chapter 10. The High Table. While telling the story of the game and anticipating the coming fight, Bond's face had lit up again. The prospect of at least getting to grips with Le Chiffre stimulated him and quickened his pulse. He seemed to have completely forgotten the brief coolness between them, and Vespa was relieved and entered into his mood. He paid the bill and gave a handsome tip to the sommelier. Vespa rose and led the way out of the restaurant and out onto the steps of the hotel. The big Bentley was waiting, and Bond drove Vespa over, parking as close to the entrance as he could. As they walked through the ornate anterooms, he hardly spoke. She looked at him and saw that his nostrils were slightly flared. In other respects, he seemed completely at ease, acknowledging cheerfully the greetings of the casino functionaries. At the door to the salle privée, they were not asked for their membership cards. Bond's high gambling had already made him a favoured client, and any companion of his shared in the glory. Before they had penetrated very far into the main room, Felix Leiter detached himself from one of the roulette tables and greeted Bond as an old friend. After being introduced to Vespa Lind and exchanging a few remarks, Leiter said, "Well, since you're playing baccarat this evening, will you allow me to show Miss Lind how to break the bank at roulette? I've got three lucky numbers that are bound to show soon, and I expect Miss Lind has some too. Then perhaps we could come and watch you when your game starts to warm up."
Bond looked inquiringly at Vespa. "I should love that," she said, "but will you give me one of your lucky numbers to play on?"
"I have no lucky numbers," said Bond unsmilingly. "I only bet on even chances, or as near them as I can get." "Well, I shall leave you then," he excused himself. "You will be in excellent hands with my friend Felix Leiter." He gave a short smile, which embraced them both, and walked with an unhurried gait towards the case. Leiter sensed the rebuff.
"He's a very serious gambler, Miss Lind," he said, "and I guess he has to be. Now come with me and watch number 17 obey my extrasensory perceptions. You'll find it quite a painless sensation being given plenty of money for nothing."
Bond was relieved to be on his own again and to be able to clear his mind of everything but the task on hand. He stood at the case and took his 24 million francs against the receipt which had been given him that afternoon. He divided the notes into equal packets, and put half the sum into his right-hand coat pocket, and the other half into the left. Then he strolled slowly across the room between the thronged tables until he came to the top of the room where the broad baccarat table waited behind the brass rail. The table was filling up, and the cards were spread face down, being stirred and mixed slowly in what is known as the croupier's shuffle, supposedly the shuffle which is most effective and least susceptible to cheating. The chef de partie lifted the velvet-covered chain, which allowed entrance through the brass rail.
"I've kept number 6, as you wished, Monsieur Bond,"